Welcome back to HealthLink on Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. Linda Cohen along with you. Well, much has been written about achieving that often illusory goal called happiness. And even more has been written and posited about the source of that other extremely coveted goal, good health. Well, joining me this morning for a special visit is psychologist Dr. Rich O'Neill, associate professor in the Department of Psychiatry at Upstate Medical University, and a regular contributor to HealthLink on Air with his weekly commentary, Checkup from the Neck Up. Welcome, Rich.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us this morning. So let's start out with the big elephant in the room. What is happiness?
Well, there's probably multiple definitions of it. The one I use is what's called the experience of flow. About 20 years ago, a researcher whose name is totally unpronounceable to me, but is something like Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, did research where he asked people to carry beepers 24/7, and he would beep them all times of the day and night and ask them to write down what were they doing and how did they feel. And no surprise, he found people felt the best when they were either having sex or eating. However,
That's
pleasure. That's not long-term life satisfaction, okay? And when people were the most satisfied with their life was when they were engaged in some activity that took all of their capacities, all of their resources, and provided some feedback to them about how they were doing, and it was a valued activity. It was something that they felt, this is important to me. So when they were having, folks, when we have that experience, that's when we feel the most satisfied with our life. So it's really important to put those kinds of experiences into our life.
So meaningful, challenging activities,
yep,
with boundaries and feedback.
Yes.
And that somehow get us to some goal.
Yes, you're moving towards a goal in your life
that
you feel is a valuable goal.
And that's sustainable happiness. I mean, that's what sustains us in a state of happiness.
That's right. Those are the things that we feel like, this is very satisfying to me, the most satisfying. One of the big surprises was people felt more satisfied, more flow experiences, F-L-O-W, more flow, at work than in leisure. People watching the tube, for instance, didn't feel as much engagement and flow as when we were working. And of course, it has to be something that you want to be contributing to, you want to be moving towards.
Clearly, it has to be a work you enjoy.
Well, yes, and there's a trick, which is you have to make your work something you enjoy. If you engage with it, what you're doing in a way is less important than engaging with it in a way that really helps you sort of be the person you want to be and contribute to the cause you're involved in at work in a way that feels good to you and other people around you.
It's interesting because that is a very Western phenomenon or a Western concept.
Yes.
And another kind of Eastern take on that might be that you want to be here now. You want to be in the moment of whatever it is that you're doing.
Yes.
And
it's
that
exactly,
is,
yeah.
That is kind of flow. I mean, in
yes,
a sense.
Yes, exactly. It's the same idea.
It's mindful.
Yes, you're mindful. You're aware. In an odd way, when you're in flow, when you're really engaged, you're not really aware so much of what you're doing as just totally engaged in it.
Like in the zone.
You're in the zone. Yeah, exactly right.
So how are health and happiness interrelated?
Well, they're interrelated in that the number of the things you need to do in order to achieve those states are the same for both. If you are engaged in your life, you're going to be less anxious. You're going to be less depressed. So you're, in a way, those are counter happiness experiences. Those are the absence of happiness.
And the absence of health, in a sense.
And they both, if you're anxious and you're depressed, they both predict bad health. They're stressful experiences, and you actually get unhealthier from being anxious and depressed. Long-term research shows that.
But also you have less mental health. I mean, if you're anxious and depressed, you're suffering from mental health issues.
That's right. And some of the things that contribute are, like, if you exercise, that contributes to an experience of positive emotional experience, less anxious, less tense, less depressed. If you exercise, your health is better. You have less long-term disability, and you live longer. If you sleep well, if you get enough sleep, about 8 hours of sleep. We're chronically sleep deprived in our culture, but if you get enough sleep, your anxiety, your tension, your depression, your irritability all drop. You're more productive. Same thing with your health. If you don't get enough sleep, you're not going to be healthy. More and more research shows that.
So what predicts, how would you know, what are these factors then besides exercise? Does money play a role?
Sleep. Money does play a role. It plays less of a role than you think, but it is important. You cannot be poor and be particularly happy. Probably the very resilient person could be. But most of us, we need to have a certain level of resources available so we don't have the constant stress in our life of trying to find enough food or trying to pay the rent or
living
even have a
mouth.
Place.
Yeah.
Living hand to mouth or not having enough money to pay for necessary medical care. Those things are stressful experiences and reduce our life satisfaction. So it's important that the sort of number that's kicked around these days is about $75,000. If you have that enough. Beyond that amount of money, it doesn't matter much in terms of happiness. People who have a great deal of money are a little bit happier than people who have $75,000, but not a whole lot. So it's probably not something you want to devote a great deal of attention to. Once you get to that sort of out-of-poverty level, you're going to be good enough, and you'd probably be better off putting your energy into building good relationships, because there's another factor. Good relationships are things that contribute both to our happiness and to our health. They're extremely important for both of those things in our life.
Kind of flies in the face of what our culture, how we're immersed in our culture, because everywhere around us, that whole kind of material edge
yes.
is there.
Yes.
If you buy the new iPod, you're going to be happy, or
yes.
the new iPad, you're going to be happy, or
yes.
what have you.
Those are good examples of things that contribute to immediate pleasure. But in the long term, they don't contribute to our overall life satisfaction. Nobody goes to their grave saying, boy, am I glad I had that iPod. we don't think that. We think, a great relationship with my wife or my children. We think those things. We think, those are not that important.
So if happiness is flow
yes.
and being in the zone or whatever,
yes.
how do you get there?
Well, you set goals for yourself. The first thing to do is to pay attention to yourself and to what your values are and what you want to accomplish in your life. You know that old saying, the unexamined life is not worth living, right? Well, it's true, because if you don't pay attention to your life, it becomes something that's not particularly worth living for you. So you want to pay attention to what's important to me, and then see, how am I going to move towards that set of goals in my life? Because you have goals in different areas of your life, personal relationship goals, career goals, spiritual goals, etc. And then set goals for yourself. Once you start to pay attention, set goals for yourself that are specific, measurable, action-oriented,
realistic.
It's the acronym SMART. Realistic and timed. So if you set a specific goal, and a measurable goal, and an action-oriented one, things so you can do things about, and realistic ones, and ones that have some kind of time boundary, like, I want to accomplish this by this time, you're going to have the experience of moving towards a goal that you value. And it's not going to be too hard. It's going to be realistic. You can't set a pie-in-the-sky goal. You might be able to, for your whole life, set a long-term goal, but you have to have reachable, measurable goals so you can feel like, I'm actually getting there. And that helps us to feel
happier. Isn't there a danger, though, I sometimes think, that we set goals, and then
yes.
once we achieve them, they lose their luster. It's kind of like you think all your life, if only, or I'll be happy when.
Yes.
And I'll do all of those things that you
yes.
just described,
yes.
and I achieve that spot,
yes.
and then I go, This ain't so great.
Right. There's a difference between what we call process goals and like an achievement goal, that kind of goal that you're talking about, where it's a specific accomplishment that you want to reach. More important to set process goals.
Say more about that. What does that
mean? Process means what is the experience I want to be having as I'm working towards reaching my goal? So setting goals, I want to actually be enjoying myself when I'm talking to Linda today here in the meeting. It's not that I'm thinking, oh, I want to get out of there and I want to think, oh yeah, I said this and I said that and I said this and I said that. No, it's much more important in a way to be paying attention to the quality of your life as you move through it, rather than to these specific endpoint goals.
Going back to that whole Eastern philosophy too, and also yes. I remember a wonderful lyric from a James Taylor song that I carried with me throughout my life, which is, the secret of life is enjoying the passage of time.
Yes, yes, that's exactly right. Putting oneself into experiences and behaving in ways that contribute to the kind of environment that you enjoy being in and other people enjoy being in. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that if we still have time.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that's really important in terms of having both happiness and health is behaving in a way that contributes to the environment between you and other people in a positive way. Also in your own head. So if you're noticing, oh, in your own head, you tend to think critically of yourself, or you put yourself down, or you think anxious things. This bad thing is going to happen to me all the time. You want to become aware of those kinds of thoughts. I call that the weather in our head, right? If you're paying attention in your head, you're noticing, you're starting to pay attention to what you think, and you think critically of yourself, or you think bad things are always going to be happening, they're going to make you anxious and depressed. So you want to start to notice, those are just thoughts. Those are my thoughts, and I actually can change those. That's the basis of what we call cognitive behavioral therapy. You can change those thoughts. By doing that, you're going to become more aware of just the basic energy in your body, and you can use that energy to think differently, to behave differently. Now let's talk just a moment about how to behave with other people. Once you have a more positive sense of your energy, you can behave in more positive ways with other people. Basically, it's what I call doing yes and rather than yes but. You join with other people on what you have in common. Someone says dot dot dot, and you find, oh yeah, I can agree with you on that, and build on that with the other person, so you have some kind of sense of working together to reach that goal.
Well, based on what you just said before,
yes,
that relationships are probably one of the crucial factors in achieving happiness.
Absolutely.
That would obviously promote positive relationships.
Yes. And instead of doing what happens all the time, which is what we call yes but, where you immediately bring in the difference. Differences are very frustrating to us. So if you immediately bring in a difference with somebody, you're going to introduce frustration into that relationship.
And it's off-putting.
It's
rejection.
Off-putting. That's right. It's the other person doesn't feel heard, doesn't feel acknowledged. They feel like, oh yeah, you said yeah, but you didn't really mean it. Instead, you brought in something different all the time. Very frustrating for us.
So in summary,
yeah,
in the little bit of time we have left,
yeah,
what's your recommendation then, your prescription for health and happiness?
For health and happiness, take good care of yourself, get some sleep, enough sleep, eat well, exercise, And take good care of your own thinking and how you contribute to your relationships with other person. Notice what you're thinking and set goals for all of those things that are realistic, specific, measurable, action-oriented, and timed. So if you're not living in a way that where you have enough happiness, set a goal. Oh, I want to change this one part of my life. Don't make it pie in the sky. Make it, what can I do this week or today? What one small thing would I be willing to do a little bit differently and build on that?
It also sounds like you want to remember that it's the journey and not the destination.
Absolutely the journey, yeah.
Well, Dr. Rich O'Neill, Professor of Psychiatry and Clinical Psychology, Associate Professor in the Department of Psychiatry.
Thanks for the promotion.
Yes.
My goal is to get there eventually.
You will, I'm sure. And the purveyor of Checkup from the Neck Up, thanks for your insights and wisdom and your great advice. It's always wonderful chatting with you.
Delightful
and we're going to be hearing
here
from you a little bit later on in your Checkup from the Neck
Great.
Up. We're going to have to take another short break, but there's more HealthLink on air ahead, so please stay with us. I'm Linda Cohen, and this is FM News Radio 106.9 and 570 WSYR.